Hey folks, why do we often struggle with issues of forgiveness and reconciliation? Do you find yourself struggling with that? You know, what positive results can happen when we do experience forgiveness and reconciliation with those that we've had issues with? Hey, listen, stick around. In just a minute, we're going to be looking at forgiveness and reconciliation out of the book of Philemon. There's only one chapter, so it's Philemon 1 through 21. Stick around. Hey folks, welcome to our Wednesday evening Bible study, except it's on Tuesday today. We always do that during Thanksgiving week to give folks time to spend with friends and family, but yet still be a part of our Bible study. So we welcome you to Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina's Wednesday evening Bible study on Tuesday. A moment ago, I asked you that question in reference to forgiveness and reconciliation. And I asked you if that was something that that you struggled with. Do you have an issue when it comes down to forgiveness and reconciliation? Now, some of you may have answered that question and said, well, yeah, a lot of it depends on what it is. You know, what's taking place? What's going on? Some would say, I don't have any trouble forgiving at all, but there are certain things that I kind of struggle with when it comes down to forgiveness especially. But yet there's another part of that. I didn't just say forgiveness. I also said reconciliation. Now, when we think about that, what does that mean? That means not only being able to forgive someone, but to reconcile, to bring that relationship back together, to count it as if it had never happened before. Now, there are oftentimes people will use that old expression, forgive and forget. And some people say, well, I'll forgive, but I'll tell you one thing, I won't be able to forget. Well, bear with us, because reconciliation doesn't mean that you have forgotten, but it means that you begin to trust once again. Now, I said a moment ago, we're going to be looking at the book of Philemon. That's not Philippians, but Philemon. One of those lesser known passages of the Word of God. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. I mentioned a moment ago that it's only one chapter, but it contains verses. So sometimes you'll hear somebody or a preacher say, we're going to be looking at Philemon 1 through 21. That doesn't mean chapters 1 through 21. That means verses 1 through 21. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there with us to the book of Philemon, chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldiers, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Verse 8, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you, my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, while once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, or sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wished to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Verse 14, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deeds might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you? both in the flesh and in the Lord. Verse 17, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. You know, I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having conscience in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you tonight, once again, we ask for guidance and clarity in your word. Lord, we pray that you would just help us to open our hearts as we spend these moments with you, just meditating on your word and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Father, during this time, I just pray that you will help us, that you will pinpoint areas where there might be some forgiveness or reconciliation that is needed, and help us, Father, give us strength to do what we need to do to be not only in right standing with you, but in right standing with those whom we may have had aught against. Lord, bless our time. Help us, Father, as we lift you up, as we always ask, draw all men unto you and give this your messenger strength, wisdom, and knowledge for this evening as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, that was a mouthful of text. But in our text today, Paul is writing a letter to his friend, urging Philemon to forgive and to reconcile with his former slave, Onesimus. Okay. Now, I mean, you would sit back and say, well, why is it that he has to put it in there? Obviously, we know that there was something there between those two that Paul knew and Paul understood. You have to remember as well that he was with Paul, so Paul knew what was going on. They probably had some conversations, and yet Paul was writing this letter and saying, you know, here's something that not only you should do, but something you need to do. You know, you are to reconcile with your brother. First of all, you to forgive, and then to reconcile with this brother that there is aught against, whether he has offended you or whatever the case may be. Yeah, we see some things as we go through the New Testament of what the Lord tells us when it comes down specifically to forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an option. Do you hear me? Folks, listen to me really, really close on this. God does not say that us forgiving someone else is optional. He says that it is mandatory. We are required as born-again believers to grant forgiveness to those in our lives. Now, that doesn't mean just because they may simply come to us. It doesn't mean that simply because they ask for forgiveness. We have to be willing to forgive within our heart, even if those people are unrepentant against us, even if those people continue to come at us. We have to have a forgiving heart. Now, I want us to understand something. That doesn't always mean that we have to set ourselves up in a position to be repeatedly used or repeatedly abused by someone. But we do have to have a clean heart before the Master. We have to have a clean heart before the Father when it comes down to forgiveness. Oftentimes, when I've been a part of this over my time in ministry, generally what I have found is that there's misunderstanding on one or both of the parties where there is forgiveness that is being withheld. And there have even been times when I have sat down with folks and they can't even remember why they were bitter towards one another. They don't even know what started it all. It's just because they had held on to that for so long and had lost so much. That is not what the Father wants us to do. He wants us to forgive, and he wants us to be reconciled one with another, that we might be reconciled to him. I'll give us a passage of scripture that speaks to that in just a moment. So Paul is writing this letter, and he is requesting that this forgiveness and that this reconciliation be a part of Philemon's life. Now, when Paul prayed for Philemon, he was thankful for some things that he was talking about in regard to Philemon. Look with me, if you would, at verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5 says this, and this is Paul writing to Philemon. He says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in prayer, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Do you see what he prayed for? He said, hearing that your love, not only for the Lord, but also toward the saints. I think he was doing that to point out the fact, he says, hey, look, you know, Philemon, you are a guy who has a love for the Lord, and because of that, you have a love for the saints, meaning those who are believers. So, you know, kind of reading between the lines, you could sit back and say, how is it that you could regard, an ought that your brother has done? You are required by the Lord to forgive in that regard. So Paul is very gracefully and very graciously pointing these things out to Philemon. Some of us may not use the same sort of tact that Paul did in the scriptures here, but maybe you have gone to somebody and said before, or maybe a friend of yours has said, well, you know what, I don't like this person because he did something to me, or I hold this against him. And you may have looked at him and said, well, that doesn't sound like a real Christian attitude. And you were right. But so often what people will do is they will get it in their heart or in their mind that, well, this person did something against me, and because of what they did, that gives me the right to hold something against them. Folks, if that's what Satan's telling you, that is completely untrue. God tells us that we need to forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us. Now, I've said this many times, but I don't know about you. God has forgiven me of so much. There's no way that I could withhold forgiveness towards somebody else. Once again, we start to try to put these little stipulations in our forgiveness. What we'll do is we'll say, well, that person never came and asked me to forgive them. Well, does the Lord's word require them to do that? The answer to that question is no. The Lord says that we must be willing and ready to forgive our brother, regardless of whether they have sought that forgiveness from us or not. I've said this many times, when we hold forgiveness or we hold aught against somebody else, or I better should say unforgiveness towards a brother, or we hold that aught against them, what we have done is we have actually chained ourselves to a sin. Yeah, you know, listen, if we're going to let God take care of the circumstances and let God take care of the situation, then we relinquish that to him. We say, Lord, we, as best we can and as best we know how, we are forgiving that brother for what took place. God will give us peace in our heart. He will convict their heart of that wrongdoing, but we will have that peace. And folks, our peace should not depend upon what it is somebody else is doing. Our peace should depend upon what God is doing in our lives. So he's kind of making or giving a reminder to Philemon. He's saying, look, you love the Lord and you love the saints that you are ministering to. I mean, you know, and as we go forward, you're going to find out that he kind of had a church in his home. So you could imagine what it was like as he's welcoming people into his home to hear the word of God and to have that fellowship. And could you imagine if one of us came walking in and all of a sudden, you know, you see him change. You see Philemon, he's shaking hands and he's greeting people, or he's giving them a hug or greeting them with a kiss, and then Onesimus walks up and he just kind of snubs him and turns his head and looks the other way. But many people would see that. You would not feel welcome in that place. And Paul, in his subtle way, is reminding Philemon of the good qualities that he has. He says, man, you love the Lord. You love the saints. He's laying all this out before he gets to what he is requesting of Philemon. So once again, as we looked in there, look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, after he has mentioned this, he's that verse 6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So once again, Paul is pointing out these good and godly qualities, and he's saying, I want you to have an effective ministry. Now, let me just go ahead and say this. a pastor or even a saint cannot have an effective ministry if you're holding some sort of ought in your heart or in your life. It will consume you. You need to be able to cut that loose by and for the grace of God and be able to move forward that you might be effective in the ministry in which God has called you to. Are you doing that? Is there somebody that the Holy Spirit is putting on your mind right now that you need to A, forgive, and B, work towards reconciliation toward? You know, what is it that God is asking you to do in these moments? Okay. This is a pretty great prayer request that has been put out, and it tells us a lot about Philemon. I mean, this is a good guy. As they would say, this is a good dude, man. He is one who wants to follow the Lord and do everything right. And yet we know, because we've read the scripture, that there was this one little fault that he had, which Paul is going to point out in just a few moments in this particular scripture. Okay. Verse 7 tells us something else. Just ask yourself the question, what was the reason that Paul found joy and comfort from his relationship with Philemon? Verse 7 tells us, it says, "For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because your hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." The hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. He has been that anointing type person. Now, I want you to think about it in your life. There are people who are good, godly, and spiritual people that, man, they can just change your whole day just by being around. Just a kind word or even just a kind look at times in the midst of a rough day. There are people that you know, that you admire, who walk with the Lord that refresh your spirit just to have that opportunity to be around them. I pray that your spirit gets refreshed when we gather around the Lord's word, or when we gather as God's people in the house of the Lord. Man, there is no greater blessing besides salvation than to gather with God's people and to be able to do so with a clean heart, a right heart, and a pure heart. Folks, listen, if you're not doing that today, I want to encourage you. If you're not in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, and you're not a part of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, I want to encourage you to get yourself involved in a Bible-preaching, God-believing, God-fearing church, and get to know the saints. We need each other. And listen, if you are a part of a church and you are holding aught and bitterness or unforgiveness against a brother, it is time to put that aside. It is time to biblically forgive. It is time to biblically reconcile those relationships. Because here's the thing, I'm not telling you anything new. The Holy Spirit has been convicting your heart or your life over these things for quite some time. It is time for you to surrender and do what it is that God is asking you to do. Okay. Remember, joy. Paul is finding joy from Philemon and the saints, and essentially what he's saying there is that is not really a mark of the church that's in your home that's listed in those early chapters of Philemon. He says, how hard is it to walk in and to see you loving everybody, but maybe singling a person out or some people out that you just don't care for because you're mad at or you're holding unforgiveness against them? That doesn't fare well for Christianity. It does not represent our Father, and it creates turmoil within the heart of a believer. Folks, listen, if you want peace, you need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you and act on that in first of all, forgiving, and then second of all, reconciling. Okay. Now, you know, instead of making demands on Philemon, which would have been easy to do, I mean, Philemon respected Paul, and instead of him saying, well, let me tell you something right now, Philemon, you need to go and you need to go to Onesimus and you need to forgive him and you need to do this, he didn't browbeat him. He approached him with a request. Okay. He's laid out all these good things so far and all these good qualities of Philemon. But then in verses 8 and 9, Paul makes a request. Let's look at that. Verses 8 and 9 says, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. What he was saying is, he said, you know, me being Paul, me being apostle, I could come to you and command you to do this. But he said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to force you to do this. I want you to do this out of love and respect, first of all, for the Father, but out of love and respect for my position, but as well as love and respect for God's people, which he's pointed out. He said, Philemon, you already show those things towards the people that you minister to. So he says, I'm not going to come tell you to do this. It's like that situation saying, you know what the right thing to do is. You know what the Word of God tells us that we should do. So he says, I'm not going to command you to do this. I'm just asking you. I am appealing to you as a brother in Christ to do the right thing. Do what it is that the Spirit is leading you to do. Now, we've said before as we go through our Bible studies that we should look in God's words, in God's Word for examples for us to follow. Here is a great example. We can learn from Paul's appeal to Philemon that, you know, the Lord's saying, I don't want you to do this because you have to. I want you to do it because you desire to. Now, this always reminds me of at times when we were children, maybe growing up, when you had like a spat with a sibling, or you know, you went and you told mom and dad, and mom and dad went to the perpetrator, as it were, and said, "Well, you go apologize to your brother, or you go apologize to your sister." And you know, here's the thing: you didn't really want to do it, and it showed. You went and you were like, "I'm sorry." Yeah, and you could tell it wasn't from the heart. You know, it was more from the lips as opposed to from the heart. And if you were the one that was receiving the apology, you also knew that it wasn't from the heart. They were empty words. They were words that had been forced, so to say, upon the one who was saying them. So you're like, well, yeah, you said it, but you really didn't mean it. And yeah, we're right. So Paul is requesting of Philemon. He says, I want you to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. I don't want to force you. I don't want to say you need to go apologize and you need to make things right and you need to reconcile with Onesimus. He didn't say that. He says, I am appealing to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your heart to do the right thing. I'm not sitting there saying I'm going to force you to do it. So that is an example that you and I should follow, as Paul was giving that to Philemon in the passages that we're looking at today. Now, you have to think, yeah, who was Onesimus and what was his relationship to Paul? Why is Paul going to bat for him? Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. Now, I want to give that to you in a different translation. It says this. It says, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. In other words, Paul spent some time with Onesimus. He's gotten to know him. He knows what his heart is. Probably along the way, the conversation came up that he's like, well, you know, Philemon and I had this falling out, and he's, you know, not happy with some things that I've done, and you know, he's not going to receive me well, you know, when I go back. Paul was probably privileged to that particular conversation somewhere along the way. You know, what do you think, as you think about it, what do you think Paul's former relationship to Philemon was? You know, the one who was apparently, according to the scriptures, offended with something. Well, let's take a peek at verse 11. It says this. Here's what he says. You remember, let's just take verses 10 and 11. It says this. It says, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, meaning whose father I became in my imprisonment. Here's verse 11. Who once was unprofitable to you. Remember, he's writing this to Philemon. So he's saying, Onesimus was once unprofitable to you, but is now profitable to you and to me. Again, another translation, it reads, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. So that was his former relationship with Philemon. And Paul says he would have, in verse 12, he said he would have been glad to have kept Onesimus with him. He says, you know what? He's been such a blessing to me. Man, I would love to keep him with me, but I need to send him back to you. Now, maybe Paul felt like he needed to do that because the forgiveness and reconciliation between Onesimus and Philemon needed to take place. Paul's saying, look, I'm not just shipping him back to you because he's not helpful to me. I'm sending him back to you because he would be extremely helpful to you. He has changed. He has matured. But yet there's still something, you know, on his mind. You know, Paul sent him back to Philemon because what verse 14 and 15 says. Verse 14 and 15, he says this. He says, but without your counsel or without your consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deed might not be compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. In other words, what he's saying, I don't want you to do anything for me because you feel obligated to do so. I want you to do something for me, and I want you to do this for Onesimus because it's the right thing to do, because it came to your heart, because the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, because the Holy Spirit told you to do this, not because Paul told you to do this. Yeah. So you get the difference there. It's kind of like when we said a moment ago about when one of your parents had a sibling apologize to you and it was an empty promise. Yeah, you went and did it, but or maybe the person, the brother or sister apologized to you and you knew they really didn't mean it. Yeah. He says, I don't want you to do this just because somebody's twisting your arm. I want you to do this because it's the right thing to do, because it's right within your heart to do. You know, many times, you know, we've done some things that we've not necessarily wanted to do, but it's because the Spirit has commanded us that it was the right thing to do according to the Lord and according to His Word. And Paul's saying, look, I'm sending him back to you, you know, not because I'm trying to force this, but because I want to see you, Philemon, do the right thing. I want to see you do it because of the right heart. I know you've got it in you. You're a good, godly man. You love people. Listen, do the right thing, okay? That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm encouraging you. I don't want you to look at it as a command. I want you to look at it as a request. Do the right thing. Yeah, yeah. Why did Paul keep saying that that he would have been glad to have kept him with him? Because he was helpful to him, you know? Paul, on the contrary, instead of keeping him with him to be that help, he wasn't trying to get rid of him. He knew there was some reconciliation and some forgiveness that needed to take place. You know, so Paul gives some suggestions and as to his desired relationship between Onesimus and Philemon in verse 16. What does he say in verse 16? He says, no longer as slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and of the Lord. Now, I've said before, I want to give you that in a different translation that makes it a little bit more clear. That verse 16 in the English Standard Version says that when you, as you receive him back, it says this, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? Okay? So whatever the circumstances, whatever the situations may be, he says, you know, Philemon, I know you kind of didn't want to be around him. I know that him being without you has been a breath of fresh air for him, you not having him around. But, you know, I don't want to send him back to you as just a servant. I want to send him back to you as more than that bond servant, but as a beloved brother, especially to me. He said, he's been good to me. He's going to be good to you. I want you to receive him back well. I want you to receive him back with joy, not just as your slave, but as your brother. Yeah. When you consider it that way, on the spiritual level, he's talking about equality there, because he says at the end of verse 16, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He said, I don't want you to look at him as your servant anymore. I want you to look at him as an equal brother. So I can imagine what Philemon must have been thinking at first. If he was like most people, he'd be going, what? You're asking me to not only take this guy back, but not just to take him back as my servant. You want me to take him back as a brother, as one who's equal, not only as a human being, but also in the Lord? Man, that's asking a lot. I mean, how many times have we thought about that? How many times have we let Satan put that in our heart and put that in our mind concerning somebody else? Lord, they don't deserve my forgiveness. They don't deserve, they're a notch below me because of what they did. And Paul is gracefully laying this out for Philemon and saying, not only do I want you to take him back, yeah, I keep him, but I want you to take him back. I want you to forgive him. I want to see you be good buddies. I want to see you guys not only be good buddies in the flesh, but also in the spirit. I mean, we don't know what Philemon's reaction to that might have been. He might have been sitting there the whole time going, what, as he read this letter, okay? You know, this could be a difficult situation for Philemon because of whatever the offense was that Onesimus committed against him. Yeah, man, that's tough. Yeah, but when we think about what we are required to do, what is required, biblically required of Philemon to do in this case? And then let me make it personal. What is required for you to do in the circumstances and situations of somebody that needs forgiveness, that needs that reconciliation? Well, let me make it really, really clear, because the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 tells us, okay? Matthew, you don't have to turn there, but you can jot it down. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15 say this: for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know what the Lord's saying? He's saying, okay, if you're going to use that kind of a standard against somebody else to where you think you can withhold forgiveness, he says that I'll use that same standard and I'll withhold forgiveness from you. Now, I don't know about you. I need all the help that I can get when it comes to the area of forgiveness in my life. Let me give that to you again. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses. In other words, you can make that personal to yourself. We can make it personal in this passage. Philemon, if you forgive Onesimus his trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive Onesimus his trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Did you insert your name in there with somebody who needs that forgiveness and who needs that reconciliation that the Holy Spirit has been on you about for maybe quite some time? It is time to react to what the Spirit is telling you. It is time to do something. We are not, it is not a suggestion that we forgive other people. It is a command of the Lord. Yeah, so Paul also offered some things by the way of encouragement in verses 17 and 18 to Philemon. He says this, he says, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. Oh, man. He said, Paul's saying, listen, I want you to take care of him as he comes back in the same manner that you would take care of me. I mean, Philemon at this point is probably going, am I really seeing, you know, am I really reading this right? I mean, yeah, Paul knows what he did to me. Paul knows, you know, how, you know, he hurt my heart with whatever it may have been. But then he even goes on, he says this. He says in verse 18, but if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. He says, if he's done anything wrong, let me be the one to make it up to you, you know, because you got to remember here, Philemon and Paul have a really good relationship. And so you got one buddy asking another good buddy, listen, you need to forgive this guy. Listen, if he's wronged you, I'll make it up. Put it on my account. Charge it to me. Let me do that because I really want to see you guys serve together. I want to see the Lord's work and his will go forward. So Paul was reminding Philemon of some things concerning their own relationship in verses 19 and 20, which says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand, I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Paul's saying, you know what? Essentially, he's saying, you owe me some things too. It's not that I'm calling in these markers, but look, let's come together and let's be refreshed in the Lord. Listen, refreshment cannot take place when there is aught that's floating around. When it's, you know, when there's nuclear waste in those relationships floating around, it is toxic to everything. Folks, it's toxic in those relationships. It's toxic in your families, and it is toxic in your church. It needs to be dealt with in the same manner that Paul is going to Philemon and saying, look, man, you need to forgive this brother, and you need to reconcile. The Holy Spirit is saying the same to you in your relationships, whether they're co-workers, family, friends, neighbors, church members. Folks, one of the worst things that can happen is in a church is for its members to be at odds with one another. The Spirit cannot work effectively in that sort of a condition. So what is it that God is asking us to do? What is the conviction of your heart at this point with what God's asking you to do? Paul said that he was confident of something concerning Philemon in verse 21. He says, having confidence in your obedience. You know what he's saying? He said, I know you're going to do the right thing. Because that's what you love the Lord, you're following him. This is what the Lord says you should do. So I am confident that you are going to do the right thing. Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. He's saying, I believe in my heart that not only will you do this, not only will you forgive Onesimus, not only will you receive him back, that you will go even a step further than what I've asked you to do. He's saying, I have that much faith in your walk with the Lord that you'll do that. I'm confident of it. You know, I can say the same thing today. As you walk with the Lord, you know, I want to have confidence knowing that you'll do the right thing. You know, are you really, truly walking with him? Or are you going to be that person that says, well, you know what? I just can't do that because you don't understand what that person did. You know what? You're right. I don't, but God does. And I also know for a fact what he's calling you to do. He is calling you to forgiveness. He is calling you to reconciliation. It's not a request. It is a command as a believer. So that I am confident in. My question is, will you follow the Lord in the circumstances and situations that he's put on your heart concerning the area of forgiveness and reconciliation of those people that are part of your life and those people that are in your life? You know, when we look at Paul's letter, it is a great example of wise leadership in helping others to experience reconciliation. Paul didn't go in there and browbeat him. He didn't sit back and say, you owe me this. He pointed out all the wonderful qualities of the Lord that he sees within Philemon. And he says, you know what? Here's this one quality that doesn't match with what God tells us that we should be doing. But you can fix that. He gives him a wink and he says, you know what? He says, I'm going to send Onesimus back to you. And man, I want you to rise to the top. I want you to do what God would have you to do. I want you to forgive him. I want you to embrace him. I want you to love him. And I want you to reconcile that relationship. He says, I got faith in you. And you know what? I have faith in you. You can do the same with those relationships that God has pointed out in your life. You know, who do you identify with in this letter? Do you identify with Philemon? Do you identify with Onesimus? Which one of those positions are you in today? Do you need to be the one who is forgiving, or do you need to be the one who may be asking some forgiveness? Is there someone with whom you need to seek forgiveness and reconciliation? If there is, the Holy Spirit has already put them on your mind. You know who it is. The question is, will you do it? Just like Paul said to Philemon, I got faith in you. You can do this. Now, what are you going to do about it? That's the key right there. What will you do with what the Lord has told you and what the Lord has shown you today? We need to pray today for relationships that need to be reconciled. And we'll do so in just a moment. Okay. All right. Listen, the Bible readings for this week, I'm going to go ahead and give those to you. Bible readings for this week will be Hebrews 2 through Hebrews 6. Once again, that is Hebrews chapter 2 through Hebrews chapter 6. Next week, we're going to be talking about the dangers of rebellion. And that passage will be Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. Now, remember, just like we talked about today, if the Lord has called you to forgive and to reconcile, don't be rebellious. Next week, we will be looking at the dangers of rebellion. Also, just a couple of quick reminders, a couple of things for you to mark your calendars for. One of those is December the 12th. On December the 12th from 9:30 a.m. till noon, we're going to be having breakfast with Santa right here at the church for ages K through 5. We're asking you to register for this event. You can do that by going to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. And then on that slider, you'll see, as the slides go by, you'll see one that says Breakfast with Santa. If you click that, that will carry you right to our registration form. This is so that we'll have all the names for Santa. This also lets us know how many folks we will need to prepare breakfast for. And Miss Nancy's got all kinds of fun things planned for that morning. There'll be games. You'll have a chance to have your picture made with Santa and have that either emailed or text to you. And man, we're looking forward to that day. Be sure to register your child ages K through 5 from our website on the banner that says Breakfast with Santa. Another event we want you to put on your calendar is December the 19th. We invite you to attend an evening of Christmas music starting at 6 o'clock p.m. And we're going to have refreshments after the music here in our multi-purpose center. We want you to come on down, just enjoy the sounds of the season. And we look forward to having you here for that. That will be at 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evening, December the 19th. Just as a note for those who are part of our church here at Central, we are relocating our church conference, or that's our business meeting, for December. It was initially scheduled on the 19th, but we're going to be moving that to the evening of December the 12th. So church conference will be December the 12th. Following our evening worship service. Okay, folks, listen, we love you. Let me pray with you, and then we'll be dismissed for the day. Father, we come to you now, and we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, for your leadership, for your guidance. Lord, we thank you for an example that we have read here with Paul and how he dealt with Philemon concerning Onesimus. I pray that for those that you have placed in our heart, Lord, that need that forgiveness and those relationships that we need to reconcile, that you will give us grace and strength to do that. But Lord, first of all, help us start to move in that direction. Don't let us just sit by and continue to pray about something that we already have the answer for. Help us to be busy about your kingdom, that reconciliation may take place just as soon as possible. And Lord, for not only our own sake, but for the sake of the gospel as it goes out. Lord, bless each and every one of us and give us everything that we need to be what you want us to be on a daily basis. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I pray that you have a very happy Thanksgiving with family and friends. And we just ask that you be safe. And we look forward to the time that we will reconvene on Sunday morning. God bless you.